The state of connectedness is always, I've characterized by a very high degree of alertness, a very high degree of wakefulness, of very awake. It's sometimes compared to the state of waiting, but not waiting in the old sense of waiting for something to happen, which means the present moment. You don't want the present moment, you want some other moment. That's the usual state of waiting. I don't want this moment, I want the next moment. There's another kind of waiting that simply has a high degree of alertness to it. So alert that you're totally here, totally present. And that is like, as one Sufi master said when he was asked who his master was to teach him that incredible stillness that he emanated. He said it was a cat. He said, I watched a cat for hours on end. I watched a cat watching a mouse hole. And that's how I learned the state of alert presence. I watched a cat watching a mouse hole. And that is not an impatient waiting. It's a simple being there. Just imagine if you watched a cat watching a mouse hole for 2 hours, you would become present. That's the state of, have you watched a cat watching a mouse hole? It goes, not a single thought in the cat's head. Now, I'm not saying return to the state of consciousness of a cat, or you are going beyond thought. We are rising above thought. We are not falling below thought. So although that state has certain similarities with the state that many animals are in a lot of the time, which is a much greater connectedness with being than most humans, a much greater connectedness with the source. That's why animals don't have problems as humans do. They don't live burdened with problems and they don't need therapy. And it's amazing. And basically they don't accumulate unhappiness either, except a few animals that live so close with neurotic humans that they reflect certain human states. Some cats and dogs can display neurotic behavior, but that's because they've lived with humans for too long. But no animal out in the wild is neurotic. You can actually learn the state of consciousness that I'm talking about very often simply by being very attentive and watch an animal, preferably wild. But even some animals that live with humans, somehow they still manage to stay sane. And it's wonderful to simply to watch a cat, how it moves, the graceful movement, how it is totally in the moment, how it relaxes. When it relaxes, it is totally relaxed. The very shape of it, when it lies there and relaxes, many artists have painted that. It's such harmony in that shape of a cat relaxing. Or a dog. It's amazing that dogs are still so sane, having lived with humans for thousands of years. The incredible goodness, aliveness, and love that is in a dog, no matter what happens, it's still there. No matter how mad their human environment, they're still alive to the present moment, ready to celebrate at any moment. And the tail goes, they are alive. I mean, compared to humans, that's a state of incredibly blessed with grace and beingness and aliveness compared to most humans who are stuck in the head with their problems, living in a world deadened by continuous conceptualization, images, mental judgments and images and false sense of me. And it's such a joy simply to watch the joy in a dog, ready to celebrate life continuously, any moment. The simplest thing is an excuse for celebration. Yeah. And so there's the feeling of so much goodness there, the goodness of life expressing itself through this particular form. And then you watch animals out in the wild, birds, other animals, but you need to watch in the state of non-labeling, not to say, oh, what a lovely little bird, what's it called? I just can't remember the name. No, you're not really relating, you're not really watching that incredible being that the mind labels as bird or whatever it is. You're just putting immediately labels on it. And then that's how the world becomes more and more dead. But to truly be with that and learn from it, you watch, and it's easier if you stay connected with the body as you watch. That's why practicing here is so helpful. You feel your entire being, your energy field, and then you watch an animal. And you're no longer saying anything. You just watch in the state of alert attention how it moves. It pauses. The state of alertness in a bird, how it, the head goes. How it's totally, it has no self-image. It doesn't have a problem with self-esteem or anything like that. It is itself. It is totally itself. So the bird just, and then it finds some food and she goes, and then it flies off. And it doesn't decide to fly, it just flies. Just, should I fly off to the next branch? Or, well, I'm not quite sure. If I do, then this or that might happen. So it just does it because the totality moves through it. It's not yet blocking the humans having formed a this little limited self that is blocking the flow of the totality moving through it. So you watch, and as you watch an animal in the state of non-labeling, you learn what it's teaching you is the state of no mind, of living free of thought, because in an animal thought there's consciousness, but there's not conceptual thought. Thought has not arisen yet. So every animal can teach you the state of no thought and can be a wonderful teacher if you are open to it. Now, the state of no thought that you enter has certain similarities with the animal state, and yet it is also fundamentally different because you have lived through the illusion, you have lived through the mind stage for many thousands of years, you've gone through it, and now you return to the state, the original state of purity and innocence and connectedness with being that was lost a long time ago. When you return to it, it has an added dimension of incredible depth and knowing to it, which the animals don't have because they are still in the original. But for us, the original state has been lost, and when we regain it, it is at a much deeper level than the original state that was lost. That's the meaning, as I mentioned in the book briefly, that is the meaning of the parable of the prodigal son or the lost son that Jesus talks about, which is actually a version of an ancient Middle Eastern parable. The lost son who leaves his father's home, give me my inheritance, he has incredible wealth, and then he squanders over the years, his wealth gets lost, he becomes destitute, he becomes a beggar, he even forgets who he is, this is the older version of it, until some messengers arrive and tell him, don't you remember, you are the son, and you are actually wealthy, and then he remembers, and then he starts the journey home. And when he returns home, the love that he finds there is deeper than when he left, because he has regained the lost state. Whenever you regain something, you're it more deeply in that. It's similar to anything humans have lost, their relatedness with nature. Once they lived in close connection with nature, then nature became dead as they became more and more trapped in the mind. Then nature was only there to be used for their own gain. And now some humans are regaining an inner connectedness with nature and realize how sacred it is. And when you regain it, it is deeper than the original state, which was natural. There was only nature, and being connected with nature was totally normal and natural. And it's only when you've lost it and regained it, then you have an added dimension of depth, and you're deeply aware of the sacredness of it. So, coming back to animals, the animals are teaching you the state of no mind, although the animal is at a level of pre-thought, and you are moving to a level beyond thought, where thought can still be used, but is no longer controlling you. This is why we are here, to go beyond thought, to go beyond the need to think, unless there truly is something to work out, which happens occasionally. But most of the time, thinking is totally superfluous, and it restricts you because it's within the realm of the conditioned. So we are moving, it's truly moving to a completely new stage in human evolution, where the compulsion to think is no longer there. Thought can still be used, but it's no longer compulsive. That means a lot of the time there's simply conscious presence. And you act and perceive out of conscious presence, not through thought activity. That's this unbelievable transformation. And yet, simple. And this is the greatest, us sitting here, and a new state of consciousness emerging here, this is one of the greatest, today, one of the greatest events on the planet. There may be some other groups where it's also happening here and there. It's a Saturday, so there may be some groups where it's also emerging and individuals, but it's still fairly rare, and yet it's emerging more and more. And yet it's not going to be on TV tonight, although it is the greatest event possible.